Well, just seconds ago, I lifted up a prayer. And before that, we had a prayer following our offering. And before that, we spent time soliciting prayer requests and praise reports from the congregation, and we spent time in corporate prayer, lifting those prayers up. And then at the very beginning of our worship service, following opening verses from the Psalms, we had prayer as well. Prayer is a significant part of how we worship here, and it should be. But prayer is meant to be more than just something that is done in a worship service. In fact, I gave you all a homework assignment, didn't I? I said that when you are having your quiet time with the Lord, and as I usually reiterate, it's not if you have your quiet time with the Lord, but when, and hopefully that's on a daily basis, you will be in prayer for those things that are on your hearts and those things that are important to your fellow body of believers here. Prayer should be an integral part of our lives as disciples of Christ. Now, a reasonable question to ask then would be, how integral? Well, I can point to dear Martin Luther, if you wish. Martin Luther, at one point, found himself so busy, so overwhelmed with work, that he declared, "I've got so much to do, I now need to spend 3 hours in prayer." Did you hear that? I know you did. You're all hoping he didn't actually say that. But the reality is that he did. And I want you to consider Martin Luther. We know him as the man that nailed his 95 thesis to the door in Wittenberg. What you may not also know is that he is the author of many books. He is the author of many hymns. He translated the Bible into German. This is a man who did an awful lot. In fact, he probably did more in his life than any of us. And yet, when he found himself overwhelmed with work, he said, "The thing I need to do is pray, and pray more." What's interesting in our society today is that one of the top reasons why Christians don't spend more time in prayer is we just feel like we've got too much to do, that we're too busy, that we can't allocate that time. But Martin Luther, he of the Reformation, turned that very notion on its head and said, "I have so much to do, I have to make sure that I'm doing that which is right. I need to be in prayer to make sure that the work I am doing is lasting work, not work that I want to do, but work that the Lord has for me to do." Prayer was how Martin Luther got his arms around doing the work that God created him for. Prayer is important. In fact, prayer is so important. It is the stuff of the Reformation. It is the stuff of revitalization. It is the stuff of revival. It needs to be the stuff of our church. It needs to be the stuff of every Christian. And so I'm going to spend today talking about why we should pray, what prayer is. But I'm also then going to spend the next 3 Sundays working our way through the Lord's Prayer as a model of how we should pray. That amounts to the 4 Sundays in November. I think it's fitting that November is the month we know for Thanksgiving, that we should spend time in prayer. And so that's what we're going to do. And it's always a good place to start, if you're going to start talking about prayer, to answer the most basic of questions. What is prayer? Now, if I asked you all to give an answer as to what prayer is, I have no doubt, because I know many of you, that I would get a well-rounded answer. But what I know I'd get from most of you is the lifting up of petitions, like what we just did. We solicited concerns and we lifted them up to the Lord. And And so I think that's what many of us think. In fact, I know that many of us are actually masters at what we call the flare prayer. You're going through your life, maybe you're driving, whatever, and all of a sudden a concern comes into your mind, pops into your heart, and all of a sudden, boom, lift that one. Lord, this one's on my heart. And it's like we are shooting off a flare gun to the Almighty, saying, God, see this prayer request now, please. And that's what it is for so many of us. But theologian Wayne Grudem has, I think, a broader definition that fits better. He said prayer is personal communication with God. You see, when we think only in terms of lifting up petitions, we limit the richness that we have available to us. Because prayer can be a time of confession. Prayer can be a time of thanksgiving. Prayer can be a time, yes, of lifting up petitions and asking for the outcome that we desire. But it needs to be more than that. It needs to be an opportunity even to listen, allowing God to speak back to us, because that is the essence of communication. I'm afraid in our society, what we have is a whole bunch of people who are either kind of like spoiled brats that just have this relationship with God that says, God, I want, I want, I want, I want. Or we have people who are saying, well, here in this generation of instant gratification, God, answer my prayer now. And that's not how we're called to pray. Those are bad ways of approaching prayer. And in fact, as we talk about why we pray, it's actually okay to start off with this notion that there are some really bad reasons to pray. You probably didn't think about that. But the reality is our scripture reading for today points to one of those things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." They are praying because they want others to observe how pious they are, how holy they are, how eloquent. My goodness, they seem so connected to God to be able to rattle off this beautiful prayer. They must be special. You shouldn't be praying to God to earn the praise of man. What Jesus says here is if that's what they're praying for, that's what they'll get, because God's not listening. But they weren't praying to God anyway. They were praying for the benefit of men. Now, just as we should not be in prayer for the praise of men, we also should not be in prayer trying to impress God. Another bad reason to pray. God, let me show you how holy I am. In fact, Jesus gives us an example of this when he has at the temple at the same time a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee, boy, he did a wonderful job of this one. He goes up and stands by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. Because I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. And obviously I'm standing here in the temple praising you. I'm as good as it gets, God. At the same time, you've got this poor tax collector, and all he can do is stand there at a distance from the altar. He's not even looking up. And in his heart, he's beating his breast and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus tells us that one man went home justified, and the other not so much. The one who sought to impress God with his own piety was praying the wrong way for the wrong reason. God wasn't listening to him. And so we have examples of why we should not pray. But we also see in the tax collector reasons why we should. And the first reason that we should pray is to acknowledge the omnipotence and the omniscience and the holiness of our Creator. We need to go to him as the one that provides everything for us. So what Ann read was from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And if we were to read a little bit further on, we would get to where Jesus says, don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, when we acknowledge that God is the provider of all that we need, we can go to him in that sense. I know you got this covered. But if you give me a choice, I'd like the blue shirt as opposed to the white shirt. I'd like a little hot fudge on my Sunday. I'd like my friend to heal. We can go to God acknowledging that he is the only one that matters. But in seeking him, acknowledging that he is God the creator, God the provider, God the great physician, we are going to him with the spirit that says, I can do nothing, but you can do all things. As we acknowledge that he is the provider of all, though, we also go with him with a heart that says, I trust you for whatever the outcome may be. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to like what the outcome may be, and that doesn't mean that we can't go to him saying, I'd like outcome X in this situation and outcome Y. We can go to God with our preferences, but we must go with the heart that also says, but no matter what the outcome is, I trust you. And again, we see Jesus do that in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't we? Because on the night that he was arrested, Jesus knew full well what was to transpire. He knew better than any what the lash of the whip was going to feel like, what the blows on his head, the crown of thorns pressed into his skull. He knew what the pain of the nails was going to be like being driven through his hands and through his feet. And he knew that he was going to suffocate on that cross. And Jesus, knowing all of that, prayed to God, Lord, take this cup from my lips, because no sane person wants to go through those things. But because he trusted wholly and completely, he then said, but not my will, but yours be done, God. Because you can put me through all of that and have a purpose that is far more important than my preference. When we go to God, acknowledging his omnipotence and his omniscience, we go recognizing that he is the provider of all, but also that we can trust him for whatever he does provide. He knows our needs and meets them. So that's one reason why we should go to God in prayer. Another reason is so that we can experience fellowship with God. Hebrews expresses this nicely. Chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God is not like, in prayer, making a wish before you blow out the candles on a birthday cake. God wants you to be with him. God wants you to draw near to him. You're not just casting coins into a wishing well. You're drawing close to him, and he desires those who will earnestly seek him out. And why is that important? Well, part of it is we have this image, particularly from Old Testament literature, of the massiveness and the might, the awesomeness of God. If you don't have that image in your mind of God, we need to. We need to cultivate that. We need to understand his majesty and his power. But understand this, in an encounter that he has with Elijah, he says this, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by, Elijah. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. You see, the Lord that we worship is this mighty hurricane. He is an earthquake. He is fire, a cleansing fire. But he speaks in a gentle whisper. And he does that so that while our initial response may be to stand far away from the one that is not only the creator but also able to destroy, but we would be drawn in by a gentle whisper, encouraged to come so that he can put his arms around us, set us on his lap, and we can have fellowship with him and hear him whisper. But to get that, we need to separate ourselves from the busyness of the world. Jesus understood this. Mark 1, verse 35 says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Our verses from this morning, and talks about Jesus telling us that we need to go off into a room and close the door. Get away. Now, he said in that, do that so that nobody else is seeing, but the reality is that nobody else is distracting you either. And Jesus knew that. He knew that the busyness of the world assaults us now more than ever before. We have so many devices that we can't escape. We can put our phones down, but some of us have these watches that annoy us. But we need quiet. Jesus knew that the best time for him to do that was to sneak off in the dark of the morn before the day got rolling. That's my quiet time. Before the rest of the world can start distracting me, I spend time with God because I need to know what he wants me to know. Jesus depended upon that time of day when nobody else was tugging at him. I assure you that there is no one who deserves your undivided attention more than God. Husbands and wives, I assure you that your spouse is in second place to God. But your spouse is not in third place. Give God the top spot. Undivided time with God so that you can hear that gentle whisper as he draws you into fellowship with him. Third reason why we should pray is so that we can focus our lives on doing kingdom work, work that lasts. And again, let's go to Jesus for our example here. Jesus says in John 12, 49 and 50, he says, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." In John 5, 19, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." We pray to God because we depend upon him and we trust him. We pray to God to have fellowship with him. And in the process of all of that, what he does is he tunes our hearts in on him and his work. You see, Martin Luther was an incredibly busy man, as I pointed out, and he could have spent his days doing Martin Luther work. But there's no reason to believe that if he had spent his time focusing on doing the work of Martin Luther, that we would know his name today. Because he didn't focus on doing the busyness of the world that was of his own thinking. He instead focused on doing the lasting, eternal work of God. And he took that time in prayer so that he could take the things that he wasn't supposed to do and push them aside. Those things that will never stand the test of time, that will perish in the flames. And instead, he chose to be focused in on that which is eternal. We need to spend time with God before our day gets busy so that the busyness that comes into our lives is work that is eternal and lasting and not the things that are fleeting. We need to allow our wills to be aligned with God's will. And where they conflict, we need to be able to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Those are the reasons why we need to allow ourselves to be aligned to the will of God through prayer. But you'll remember that I said prayer is communication with God, which means we have to allow time for listening, don't we? We have to allow time for God to speak back to us. And this requires a little bit of maturation on our parts, because anybody can pray. And indeed, I encourage everybody to pray. But one of the most common prayers that we will lift up is, God, what would you have me do? It is important that as his sheep, we know his voice. This is his voice. A sad cautionary tale. I had a friend here on the island who came to me several years ago, and he was struggling. He was really, really struggling. His marriage hadn't been great, but he had been off for a funeral and bumped into a high school sweetheart. And all of a sudden, his heart was aflame with love. And he was struggling. He didn't want to leave his wife, but he felt like he couldn't overcome this desire. And so he said to me, Aaron, I'm really struggling with this. And I am praying to God for the right answer on this. My words were very harsh at that moment. I said, brother, you need to stop praying right now. The word of God is so crystal clear on this. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God hates divorce. That if you hear any word other than drop this nonsense and love your wife, you are not hearing the word of God. If we don't know how God speaks, how will we know what he says? This is the primary work of the Holy Spirit, the authorship of this book. God speaks in quiet whispers. God speaks in coincidence. God speaks through other people. But where God speaks most loudly is through Scripture. So as we talk about prayer being communication, we have to allow for God to speak back. Meditation on his word allows for that. Why should we pray to God? We should pray to God because no one knows us like him. No one knows the work that lasts like him. No one desires more for us in our lives than him, because he created us. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Because he's God. And he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us because he knew us. And knew what we'd do without him. And how much we needed him. I'm here to tell you today that God has a purpose for each and every one of you. Most of us have spent most of our lives pursuing that which we think is the right thing for us to do. God knows the eternal thing that we should be doing. We should pray to God so that he can reveal that which is everlasting in our lives. And we can commit ourselves to do that. That's why we should pray. The next couple of weeks, we'll dive into the Lord's Prayer and learn better how to pray. But in the meantime, would you pray with me now? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your tenderness. We thank you for the clarity of your word and your call to us to have fellowship with you. Lord, may we see each day more clearly the importance of that time with you. And may we create that time in our lives, pushing aside those things that are of less importance, so that we can focus on you and do things that are of lasting significance. Father, we love you. And to the extent that we haven't given you what we should, perhaps that comes out of ignorance in our lives. But Lord, would you just make it clearer and clearer to us how to serve you, how to rejoice in you completely, and how to be the people that you created us to be. Because, Father, we want to bring you glory. We want to see you lifted high. We want to see you acknowledged as the King of Kings. So help us attune our lives through prayer so that we can be who you called us to be and you can receive the glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.